To begin a new study for the next 11 weeks, actually, it's 13 weeks, but the weekend meeting comes out, and I have to go to Summersville in November, so it'll be 11. I'll have 11 sessions, and we're going to be studying on the other gospel. And when I say the other gospel, what am I talking about? John. And why do we call it the other gospel?
Well, yes, because it's so much different than the other.
Yeah, exactly. The other three, they're called synoptics, and I guess that means because they're similar. Matthew, Mark, Luke are very similar, but John comes along and is really totally different. And I don't mean different in they all teach the truth, and they all teach the gospel, but the approach. And we'll be talking about that in just a little bit. This is going to be a study. I'm excited about it, and I hope we all really get involved in it and follow along. But just today, basically, we're going to introduce John and introduce the study. You know, the Gospel of John has been a great strength over the last 20 centuries as an inspiring source of testimony for building faith in the Lord's church and converting the world and to the spiritual teaching of Jesus Christ, which is the Son of God. And that statement right there, it provides this source of testimony. That is the evidence that helps to build our faith in the Lord's church, which is us, and then it helps to convert the world also. You know, faith, we're in a time when faith is desperately needed. I need more faith. Each of you need more faith. Our young people need faith. It's just as we draw near the end of time when the Lord comes back, we're going to have to need more and more faith. And so that's kind of with this in mind that I chose to study John, because I think it is a very strengthening and faith building book. And basically, John, the Gospel of John, is a last message, because the Gospel of John was written by John, who was an apostle, and he was there when the church started, but then 50 years later, he was still here, the last of the apostles, and he wrote the last gospel. And so that's one reason that his gospel is quite a bit different than the synoptic gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, because they were written earlier. And a lot of changes has taken place during that time. So basically, I was mentioning that the Gospel of John is like a source of testimony. And I like to think of it as the transcription of an evidentiary hearing. It's kind of a legal term. You know, an evidentiary hearing is a legal proceeding where evidence is taken for the purpose of determining an issue of fact and reaching a decision based on that evidence. That's taken from the Advanced English Dictionary. And so I look at John as being that type of a book. So it's really exciting to study, and it's very important for us to study. But you know, I'm not sure who it was that brought this up, but it's been mentioned several times since, that it's so important to read the Bible, you know, to do a reading. And I know several of us have read the Bible through in the past year. But that's kind of called like taking a tourist trip. And then the person mentioned, I think it was, I don't know if it was John or Rick or someone, I know others have mentioned it, but when you get in and start studying, it's like camping. You stop. You put up a tent. And you stop and then you investigate the area. Well, we're going to go one step beyond that. We're not going to be a tourist. We're not going to be camping. But we're going on a mining expedition. In other words, we're going to be digging deep into the veins of golden truth, trying to find those nuggets of gold that will develop our faith. Now, Matt just handed out an outline of John, and that's going to kind of be our roadmap as we go through the study of the book of John, of the Gospel of John. So hang on to that. Bring it back each time. And you can use that to make notes in, or you can use that as we follow along, as we start down through our road, our journey through the story of the Gospel of John. You know, the first step in any Bible study is setting the material in context. And when we say in context, what do we mean by that?
In the setting in which it was given.
Okay.
Context.
Yep. Any other thoughts on that? And Bob, that's pretty much what it is. It, you know, it's determining the set of facts or circumstances that surround the story. And in this case, it's John's good news story. It's his gospel story that we're going to be looking at. So I think that's what we need to do, is kind of take some look at the facts surrounding the Gospel of John. And actually what this is doing, it's kind of like going back to that legal example of an evidentiary hearing. You know, you have to qualify the testimony. You have to qualify the witnesses. So that's what kind of what we're going to be doing today. First, we're going to look at the author, the date, and the recipients of the Gospel of John. Of course, John, the writer, was the writer, and this was John, the son of Zebedee. Now, it gets kind of tricky in reading through the Gospel of John, because there's more than one John mentioned in the Gospel of John. How many times is the writer's name mentioned in John, in the Gospel of John?
None,
exactly. And that's another good clue that it was John that wrote it. You know, he didn't start off and say, well, this is John, I'm writing this. So every reference to John is not the writer. So then we have to make sure that we keep straight who we're talking about. And of course, beginning, we're going to be talking about John the Baptist a lot. But that's not John the writer. John the writer was John the Apostle, not John the Baptist. And he was a Palestinian Jew. He was one of the 12 apostles. And he was a very close disciple of Jesus. In fact, he was referred to as the disciple that what? Whom?
Jesus loved.
Jesus loved, yeah. We can find that if you want to turn to, if you got your Bibles open, and I hope you do have your Bibles open to the Gospel of John, because I'm going to need help in reading as we go through. So when I give a reference and ask for it, why, just anyone turn to it, and I'd like for all to participate and take turns reading. In John 13 and 23, if someone has that, just read that for us.
Now there was leaning on Jesus' bosom one of his disciples whom Jesus loved.
Okay. And we know that was John. What other books did John write in the New Testament?
Revelation.
First, Second, and Third John. So he wrote five books in all, didn't he? And you know, all of John's writings were really last messages, because they were all written down toward the end of the first century, probably 85 to 95. Of course, Revelation was the last one that was written. We think that probably around 95, 96. It was the last message of John and of Jesus. That's the last words that we have that have been inspired and written down about from Jesus. The last words and the only words that we'll hear from him. So, all of his books were what I would consider last messages. And I've always considered them very valuable for us to really pay attention to, because He gets down to the nitty-gritty of what really needs to be talked about. Now, the date of this gospel, like I said, it's really unknown exactly, but it's generally thought to have been written toward the end of the first century, somewhere around 90 A.D., plus or minus, we don't know, but I think it was written probably a short time before John wrote the book of Revelation, which was 95 or 96 A.D. And it's thought to have been written at Ephesus in Asia Minor. John didn't provide any detail where he was writing it from, and that's one thing we're going to find out when we're studying the book of John, that he doesn't get into a lot of physical facts and detail. His is more spiritual. Whereas, and we'll say this probably more than once, but Matthew, Mark, and Luke, the synoptic gospels, they were more about the history of when Jesus was here on earth, his birth and the things that he did. And John doesn't get into that historical part. His is mainly spiritual. And we'll be talking about what his purpose was for doing that. But it was thought to have been written at Ephesus in Asia Minor, because this was real close to the Isle of Patmos. And what happened on the Isle of Patmos?
It's where he was in exile.
Okay, John was exiled there, and that's John the writer of this gospel. He was exiled there, and what did he receive while he was on the Isle of Patmos?
He received a revelation from Jesus.
Okay, a revelation from Jesus. And do we have that revelation? Yes, Matt was saying that's the book of Revelation. It's been handed down as part of our Bible. Now, as far as who was he writing to, who was the original audience? Who did they consist of? Okay, yeah, and in that part of the world, that Asia Minor, his audience probably consisted of both Jews and Gentiles. But they were living in that Greco-Roman world in Ephesus and beyond. And because the Gospel of John is not just written for the Jews, or it wasn't just written for the Gentiles. It was written for all. It's written for all people. Next, let's look at the theme and the purpose of the writing of the Gospel, John. I think the theme of John's gospel is that Christ is the long-awaited and promised Messiah and the Son of God. We're going to find that as being something pounded on and testified about and witnessed by many different people. And the purpose of the gospel was, and someone turn to chapter 20, verse, and read 30 and 31, and you'll have the purpose right there. 20, verse 30 and 31.
And truly Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name.
Okay, right there is the main purpose of writing that the gospel, was to make believers in Jesus, and so that all would have life in his name. And you know, John's gospel also includes much valuable evidence that Jesus is the Messiah. That is, relating several selected messianic signs performed by Jesus. These testify to the fact that this is the Son of God. This is the promised Messiah. That was accepted by a few, but it was rejected by many. And also, there was the series of witnesses to Jesus, including the Scriptures. Now, what Scriptures would that be? That'd be the Old Testament. And John the Baptist was a witness. Jesus himself was a witness. God the Father was a witness. When did God the Father witness in the Gospel of John?
At the baptism.
The baptism, right. When he came down and said, "This is my Son, in whom I'm well pleased." And then Jesus' miraculous works, that testified and witnessed that he was the Son of God. The Holy Spirit, and John the writer himself. So, some of the key themes that we'll be looking at. This is just giving kind of an overview of the key themes in the Gospel of John. First, Jesus. Jesus is the center. He is the star. He is the center, the focus of the Gospel of John, as it should be. And, of course, the whole New Testament is. But Jesus is God, the I Am. He existed before the creation of the world, and He has supernatural knowledge. Also, we find that Jesus fulfills the Jewish festivals and the institutions, like the Passover and etc. Being sent by God, He reflects the sender. He's like God. And also, the signs and witnesses testify that He is the Messiah. The second key theme was the Godhood. And you say, well, wait a minute, didn't you mispronounce that? Well, no, I didn't mispronounce it. The Godhood, actually, the Godhead is mentioned twice in the King James and the New King James translation. It's not mentioned in hardly any of the other translations. In the other translations, it is translated as divine nature or deity, the deity of God. So, I think Rick Sparks mentioned this, and I kind of agree with him. He calls it the Godhood. And the Godhood, the hood means a kinship relation. And so that's what we're talking about, God, the Godhood. And, of course, that who is that made of? Who composes the Godhood?
Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit.
Holy Spirit, yes. They're united together in their work of revelation and redemption. So the third thing as a key theme in the Gospel of John is salvation. You know, God is sovereign. He is supreme and uncontrolled in all things of salvation. So He has the say, and no one else above Him. Jesus' death is the basis of salvation, which is obtained through believing in Jesus as the Son of God and obeying the gospel of Christ. Theme number four, eternal life. We're going to find out that Jesus is the giver of eternal life, as we've already mentioned in the verse that Mike read in the 20th chapter. It mentions that, and we'll be seeing that throughout the book. And also, followers of Jesus can experience some of salvation's benefits during this present evil age. Number five, as a key theme, the Christian's mission is encouraged. In other words, believers are called to continue Jesus' mission. Jesus knew He was only here for a short time, so He was getting it all set up where He would have people that would teach. And, of course, the apostles being the leading teachers. But then that includes everyone who becomes a Christian is called to continue Jesus' mission, and which is of saving people for eternal life. Now, a few interesting topics in the Gospel of John. And I know this first session is more like I'm lecturing to you, but I definitely, when we get into studying the verses, I want a lot of class participation, and I think we will have it, because I'm going to ask a lot of questions, and I want you to answer, and we'll everyone can have an opportunity to answer, and because I hope you're taking notes on doing this. Because it's going to be a very in-depth study, word by word, verse by verse. I'm not expecting to get very far into the teaching of the Gospel of John in 11 sessions, 35 minutes each. That's about little over 6 hours. We're not going to get very far, but I'm not worried about that, because we can stop if you have a thought. Especially if it's in context, we don't want to get out of context with the study. But if you have a thought that's in context, we'll stop and talk about it, and you can express your ideas and thoughts. And I've got a pencil, I've got paper. I'm not looking at my video screen. I've got paper. I can write down notes, and I'm learning by doing this. But some of the interesting topics in the Gospel of John, I think probably was the surprising welcome of the Gentiles. You know, from the first chapter of John's Gospel, we understand that the Jews, for the most part, rejected Christ. But now, by the Gospel, God is extending His grace to anyone who would receive Him. Someone read, and this is in the first chapter of John, verses 11, 12, and 13. Okay, thank you. We're going to do a lot of verse reading. So just we'll pass it around and just read as soon as you have it. This policy is evident very early in Christ's ministry as Jesus extends grace to a sinful Samaritan woman who was outside the Jewish brotherhood. And that's we know that story, and we have that story in John. But, you know, this type of action, it draws considerable hostility towards Jesus by His own fellow Jews. And we can read about that in several places, and we're not going to turn and read these, but in the 5th chapter, verses 16 through 18, the 6th chapter, verse 41, 7th chapter and verse 1, 8th chapter, verse 59, 9th chapter, verse 22, 10th chapter, verse 31, 18th chapter, verse 12. That is, it's talking about the hostility of the Jews toward Jesus because of what He's doing. Here He's going and starting to talk to other people besides the Jewish people, and they don't like that. But we're going to find that it's mostly the Gentiles, actually, who love and trust Jesus. Now, we will read this in the 4th chapter, verses 28, 29, and then skip over to 39. 4, 28, 29, and then 39.
So the woman left her water pot and went into the city and said to the men, "Come see a man who told me all the things that I have done. This is not the Christ, is it?"
Okay. So I think that we're going to see that this is exactly what happens. The Jews in general reject Jesus, while the Gentiles begin accepting Him. So the gift of eternal life is for the whole world. What verse would you quote that tells us it's for the whole world? In the book of John. John 3:16. We can all quote that, can't we? What is that verse? Okay. And then it also we find out that Jesus will draw all people to Himself. Let's read that 12 and 32. 12:32. Okay, that's a very important verse, and we'll talk about when we get to that. That may be 2 years down the road, but sometime I'm going to keep working on these study notes that I'm because I'm learning a lot by going through doing an in-depth study of the Gospel of John. So my 11 sessions is not going to go very far, but I'm going to keep studying, and then I'll keep, when I have time to teach on Sunday night or even Sunday morning, maybe giving lessons on the book of the Gospel of John. Another interesting topic in the book of John is Christ extends His worldwide gospel mission through His disciples. You know, we know that Jesus was sent to the earth on a mission of salvation by God the Father. Then Jesus sends His disciples on a mission to the world. And who were they aided by? Who aided the disciples as they took the gospel to the world?
The Spirit,
the Holy Spirit, right. And that in John, the 20th chapter, in verse 21 through 22, and I'll read that. So Jesus said to them again, "Peace to you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit." And we can also find that in the 4th chapter, verse 38, and the 15th chapter, verse 16, and the 17th chapter, verse 18. Now, if you're wanting to take those references down that I just read off, I'll go a little slower. Just hold up your hand and say, "Wait a minute. I'm not in a hurry on this lesson. I just want us to get as much as we can out of it." Now, today, we as Christians are the mouth, the hands, and the feet of Jesus. So as we proclaim the good news of salvation throughout the world, that's what our duty is to do. Another interesting topic is God's concern for the world. Now, when we talk about, and that word is used a lot in John, the world. Well, what are we talking about when we say the world? We can be talking about probably three different things, but that word world is the Greek word cosmos. And the English word, and the Greek word is kosmos, and the English word is cosmos, cosmos. And it occurs 186 times in the New Testament, and 42% of those, or 78 times, are in the Gospel of John. So, we will notice that the meaning of the word world in John's Gospel changes slightly from one passage to the next. So it's got to be considered in context. And basically, I wasn't really going to talk about that, but, you know, the world can just, it can mean the created universe, this world and all the whole universe. That's the world. Or it can mean the people that are in the world. Or it can talk about the wicked people. When you talk about people of the world, that could be referring to wicked people, people who have not obeyed the Lord Jesus Christ. So we'll see those things. But, you know, sometimes it's referred to that realm of darkness and sin, like in John 7:7. Read that.
"The world cannot hate you, but it hates me, because I testify of it that its works are evil."
Okay. So more often, the world simply refers to the people who live on this planet. But John tells us many times in God's, he's going to relate God's loving attitude and salvation toward the whole world. And let's read, well, John 3:16, but also read verse 17. Okay, and read the next verse too.
"For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved."
Okay, thank you. And there's several other verses that talk about this loving attitude of salvation toward the whole world. So we understand then that the context of the Gospel of John is, this is kind of a summary in my words. It was written during that period of the early church after the Jewish religious institution had already been removed. And when was it removed? The Jewish institution of religion, when was it actually cut off?
Crucifixion of Christ, is that what you mean?
Well, it still went on after that. 70 A.D. What happened then? Destruction of Jerusalem. That's when Rome came in and they wiped it out. That was quite a destruction. So that has happened. And then we find the Church of Christ moving out of the era of the inspired apostles. And they were having to deal with the opposition of Satan from the Jewish and Gentile foes, who were determined to destroy this religious movement because they said it was turning the world upside down. So that's kind of the context, part of the context. We also find that John's gospel was written to lead souls to believe and to be born again into Christ. And that's in the 20th chapter, verse 30 and 31. By proclaiming that Jesus is God the Son, therefore he was able to give new life to sinners who obey the gospel plan of salvation. And then you see, John's gospel story is about Jesus calling people to believe him, promising them eternal life. So, let's just kind of take a step back for a moment before we close this morning and consider the big picture of God's story of redemption. I want you to notice the way it dovetails with John's gospel. Of course, the big story of God, which is the Bible, it all dovetails together beautifully, doesn't it? Well, it definitely dovetails together with John's gospel. At the beginning of time, the Word of God brought light and life out of chaos as creation took place. And that included human life. Well, here in John's gospel story, the apostle uses those same themes. Notice in John 1 and 1, in the beginning, using the same opening words as Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. Then John speaks of the Word of God, in whom is light and life. And we read that in verses 4 and 5. So let's remember this Word, and we'll be talking more about the Word, was not simply God's uttered speech. No, it was the Word that became flesh and revealed the glory and the will of God. We'll read in chapter 1, verse 14. So you see, God came to earth to dwell with us so that one day we could dwell with Him. And indeed, this Word, the Logos, dwelt among us. And John uses a Greek verb that means literally tabernacled among us. Or in other words, he was housed here. He lived among us. And all of this, it makes it possible for a relationship between heaven and earth, which is actually superior to the relationship between God and the Jewish priest in the temple. So you see, in Christ, the entire Old Testament story is summed up and fulfilled. All of God's stories of redemption climax in Jesus Christ. He is the true bread from heaven that gives life to the world. John 6, 31 through 51. A lot of lessons in there. So we need to keep in mind the Gospel of John is more concerned about the spiritual nature and teaching of Jesus than the other three Gospels. They were more historical in nature. Okay, I see it's time to call the classes up. So we got about to where I wanted to. I maybe was going to go just a little bit further, but that's okay. But the general outline, you have the handout, which is a very full outline, but a general outline that I'm going to mention while they're coming back. Number one, we have the prologue or the introduction to the book, which is the first chapter, verses 1 through 18. And really, those 18 verses, if you look at them, they're just kind of an abridged history of the earthly ministry of the Word that John's going to talk about in all the rest of his book. And then the second section is the Word manifested to the Jews and their rejection of Him. That goes from 1 and 19 all the way through the end of the 12th chapter. And then number three, the Word is manifested to the disciples and their acceptance of Him. And that goes from John, the 13th chapter of John, all the way through the 20th chapter. And then finally, the epilogue, which means a short passage in conclusion, is about feed my sheep. And that's the 21st chapter. Now, the handout that you got is a very comprehensive outline, and we'll be following it during our study. So, but as for this class, we're going to follow a pattern of Bible study which was used across the Brotherhood 75 years ago called Bible readings, which was an in-depth verse-by-verse study of selected verses of the Bible. And these were usually daily Bible sessions over a protracted period of 1 to 10 weeks duration. 6-week Bible studies seemed to be the most popular. My father attended a 6-week Bible study in St. Louis in 1946. Our late brother Jim Basinger attended in 1951. Mike's mother Dixie attended there in St. Louis in 1950 and 51. Valita's mother Lois attended a re-Bible reading in Des Moines, and I think it was E.M. Zur probably taught that one back in the 40s also. And there are several others, but it was really a good way of teaching. So I'm going to stop right there, and we'll begin next week and pick up, and we're going to be getting into the first chapter, studying our, going through this, the book of John in an in-depth study. So I